Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Steelers, Ravens, these are the kind of games you love if you're a fan. I maintain, Brian, from the top of the show today, that this is the best rivalry in Pittsburgh sports, certainly at the moment. In fact, I think rivalries are lacking across the board pretty much. There's Pitt, West Virginia, and then what that really matters right now. But I also think this is the best NFL rivalry of the 21st century. Do you agree with both those statements?
I think the numbers and the stats would certainly back you up when you really dig into it, and we always can dig into it this time of year when the Steelers play the Ravens. I always hesitate because I don't have a great feel for exactly how much the Eagles hate the Cowboys or vice versa, or the Bears and the Packers. I mean, there probably are ones out there that have a lot of vitriol between them, and we're just not privy to it the way we are Steelers-Ravens, but it's got to be in the conversation, and the amount of close games that these two teams have played and the success that they've had and how good their records have been since these two coaches came on. But even before that, it gives them a great case in anybody you want to stack them up against that way.
Yeah, man. I thought that Niners-Seahawks was great for three or four years.
I mean, the moments have been awesome.
For sure.
The Antonio Brown reach. The Immaculate Extension. Yes.
The Santonio Holmes touchdown. Tomlin referenced the Isaac Redman touchdown in that game where Haloti Ngata cracked Ben in the nose. Yeah. There's been Ravens moments that they remember probably more than Steelers fans. Yeah. Flacco came in here and won a division one time with a touchdown pass. They won a playoff game here. The Steelers won the AFC Championship here.
Kenny Pickett in Baltimore.
The AFC Championship, the Polamalu interception is the greatest moment in that stadium's history, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. That's another one. That's another one you can't overlook for sure.
I mean, we could go on here all day. And another great moment, let's put it this way. Wasn't a great moment at all, this one. But a memorable game was the Mason Rudolph game where he got his face mask torn off. Tomlin spoke about that day because Marlon Humphrey made a play in overtime, stripping Juju of the ball. Do you have that, oh, limitless wonder? Because Brian Batko suddenly enters the conversation here. That's who you're listening to, by the way. Brian is with me, as he is every Tuesday, talking about the Tomlin news conference. Brian somehow became involved after this game.
Embroiled
is a better word. But here's Tomlin on Marlon Humphrey, who's still around in Baltimore and playing well.
They got really good players at safety. Kyle Hamilton, I think, is playing as good as anybody in the business. Marlon Humphrey, obviously, is a bell cow, not only in terms of his coverage ability, but his ability to get the ball. Man, he's got a reputation. He is the new Peanut Tillman of this generation in terms of taking the ball from people. But again, he needs no endorsement from me. He's got a resume that bears that out. I can think back to 2019. We're in the fifth quarter in a tight ball game with these guys, We complete a significant over that's probably going to put us in position to win the game. But Marlon comes in with a hammer and dislodges the ball from Juju Smith-Schuster and then recovers it, and they win that game. And so we've seen his exploits for a number of years. Man, they got really talented people.
There you go. Came in with the hammer.
In the fifth quarter.
That was the day, if I'm not mistaken,
happened in that game.
Oh.
Hodges came in because of the aforementioned Mason Rudolph concussion with Earl Thomas. Mike Tomlin elected to kick to start the fifth quarter.
Yes, he did.
Which was still absurd to me, and it almost worked.
To me, too.
It almost worked because they got the ball back.
I know.
Only for Juju to get the hammer dropped on him.
I thought it was absurd. And that gets to the whole idea of hindsight being 20/20. I try to stick to a
process.
Where I judge things as I see them beforehand. And like the fake punt the other day.
I loved it.
I loved it, too. And Tomlin said, because it didn't work, it was a bad idea. Yeah. Well, I think he knows that's not true, and it's not true. It was a great idea, and it should have worked. Giving the ball to Lamar at the beginning of overtime is a terrible idea, even if the Steelers had won the game.
Yeah,
Why am I arguing about that all these years later?
Because it was a memorable day.
What was going on?
You factored in that day because poor Mason Rudolph got his bell rung by Earl Thomas, and then they stripped his face mask off so he looked like a player from the 1920s that Ron would have covered. And then he had to wobble all the way to the locker room because they didn't have a cart. And that led to one of the legendary quotes in Tomlin history on a question.
Mason's injury, do you know why he had to stand up and kind of walk off the way he did while the cart was out there?
Ask somebody that's in charge of that. I don't drive carts and things of that nature.
You could tell from the very first syllable of Tomlin's answer that he was so ticked off still in that moment from losing that game.
Because of the Marlon Humphrey hammer
play. Everything.
Right. Let's get that again, because it seemed like poor Mason probably limped all the way to the hospital that day. I mean, did they have an ambulance? They didn't even have a cart.
I mean, remember the Zach Banner reaction ended up going kind of viral from that too.
What did he say?
He didn't say anything. It was on the field. He like looked at Rudolph. Basically, the light was on and no one was home, and he made a face at the camera. It was just it was a scene. Not a good scene, a scary scene for Mason.
No, and it sort of epitomized.
Which is why I asked about it after the game.
It epitomized Mason's career here, where can anything else possibly go horribly wrong for this guy?
And did it.
And can they add any more insult to the massive injuries that he has sustained? Here, it was literally insult upon injury. You get knocked senseless, they rip off your face mask, and then nobody has a cart to drive at the game, so you have to wobble into the locker room, and that led the savvy old news hound Brian Batko, the intrepid reporter, to ask Mike Tomlin about it after the game.
On Mason's injury, do you know why he had to stand up and kind of walk off the way he did while the cart was out there?
Ask somebody that's in charge of that. I don't drive carts and things of that nature.
Oh, that's great.
And then it was, about a month later, the whole Myles Garrett thing happened. So.
I can't tell you how much I love that. Part of me thinks you were a little bit out of place there asking the head coach about the cart.
Well,
shouldn't you have asked somebody else?
Well, again, does the cart driver talk after the game?
I don't know.
The trainers?
You should have maybe sought out the cart driver. I don't know that the head coach needs to field that question, made it legendary.
Have the Steelers made it clear that the head coach fields all questions in season, Joe?
That's
true. He's the voice of the team. Why does he tell us about the players' injuries instead of the trainer? Should I ask the trainer instead of about Calvin Austin or Alex Highsmith?
Limits? Was
he doesn't look at ankles.
His bounds?
I don't evaluate concussions and things of that nature, but I will tell you a guy's
was
in the
within
concussion
his
protocol.
Bounds to ask the head coach about the cart.
Brian was well in his journalistic
Thank you,
bounds
City
to
limits.
Know. Fully agree.
Oh, a tremendous moment in Tomlin history right there.
Yes, it was.
Point being, I don't know what the point is. I don't know what the point is to all that, other than that this always provides memories.
We were saying before the break, Steelers 7-1 in their last 8 against the Ravens.
Yeah, how many times?
A streak that obviously starts after that 2019 season where they got swept by them.
Yeah,
there was that game at home that we just discussed at length, and then they went down there in the pouring rain with Duck Hodges at quarterback again.
Oh, was that
in the regular
horrifying
season finale? And
against who? You remember the
Robert Griffin III?
Yeah, Duck. Yes. Against a broken RG3.
And Gus Edwards was running through the Steelers like a hot knife in butter.
I remember T.J. Watt from that game got called. You know, he's a master at punching the ball out.
Mm.
He got called for a personal foul because he missed, and I think he punched RG3 in the gut. Did he not?
You might be right. I don't specifically remember that one. I do remember, talk about fake punts. I don't know if this was a fake. I can't remember, but Jordan Berry got absolutely buried by the Ravens in the end zone.
No pun intended.
In that game, yeah. But they've faced Lamar 3 times in this span of 8 games dating to the 2020 season, and they've beat him all 3. The only game the Steelers lost was the Mitch Trubisky coming in for a concussed Kenny Pickett and throwing three picks,
right, but they still had a chance to win that game, as I recall, but they couldn't stop. Who was the third stringer? Anthony Brown? Remember, all they had to do was stop the Ravens and
Anthony
get the ball
Anthony Brown
back.
Came in to relieve Tyler Huntley.
And everybody knew they couldn't throw and could only run, and they still converted a first down.
Yeah.
That was horrifying as well. But let's talk about Lamar and the Steelers a little bit. I mean, this is a matchup. We were talking before you got in today, Brian. You could very well make the argument the best defensive player on the planet and the best offensive player on the planet are matched up in this game. I mean, this is
one guy coming off a huge performance and the other coming off one of his quietest performances ever.
But late in the game, should have gotten a safety. He got held in the end zone and then came up with as big a play as any when he knocked the ball out of Daniel's hands, basically, on that third down throw that set up the fourth down play. Remember?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, TJ always seems to find a way to factor in to the discussion, but it was another week where teams just, they throw everything they can at him.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You know, they're putting chips in double teams, and it was former Steeler Trent Scott got the nod at right tackle for the Commanders in that game. And
they helped him a lot. And then they decide to let him go one-on-one with TJ on third down with the game on the line? What? Let's hear the little anecdote from Tomlin about Lamar Jackson. Oh, limitless wonder. From the 2019 draft. I think I frustrated him. Did you look in there? Look in there. It's like a zoo. We're looking at the little limitless wonder.
No, we have like 12 clips, so I'm trying to make sure that I find the correct one in time.
That's okay.
So I don't play the wrong one.
Mike, you clearly have a lot of respect for Lamar Jackson. Just what do you remember about when you learned that he was going to be in this division and you were going to have to play this guy twice a season?
I'd be making something up, to be honest with you. He's been in it a while now. I respect the skill set. I wanted to get to know him, not only for us, but just in general. Sometimes when I see talent, forget whether or not we're interested in it. I try to get close to it in the draft process just so I'm not surprised by it. That's the mentality that I had regarding him. I think maybe we went out to eat the night before his pro day. I was at his pro day. I just wanted to see what that looked like up close. And so that's what I think about when I think about how he came into the league, that I got active in the draft process because I didn't want to be surprised by it. And I remember less about reactions to him going to Baltimore.
Brian, if you're a player in that situation and you're getting taken out to dinner, are you going full surf and turf?
I was going to say, if somebody would have piped dessert? Up and said, what did you guys have to eat that night?
Would you? I absolutely would.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I think there's stories of that, too, of players talking about they weren't sure how to approach the pre-draft night before dinner.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing, regardless of what you order, probably how you order, I think Mike Tomlin and those coaches want to see who's kind of got command of the room. Because a lot of times they take out several players at a time, and they want to see the interaction between, okay, this linebacker who is captain of the team, is he the guy that no one speaks until he speaks at the table? What does that say about him and his psyche and his mentality if we're looking to maybe draft him? So, yeah, those things are always interesting. And, you know, I've seen Mike Tomlin go back into the memory bank before to conjure those up. And he was, I guess, less apt to do that with Lamar. But, you know, they're about to see him again here. So I don't necessarily blame him on that one.
Well, let's be clear about this. I thought last year's game? Yes, that Lamar played really well here, except for a horrific throw late in the game. It never should have come to that. His receivers must have dropped 8 balls, including touchdowns. Yeah. I didn't think he played badly at all. But the fact of the matter is, he's 2-4 against the Steelers and 17-7 against the rest of the division, which would be the two teams in Ohio, last I checked. Against the Bengals and Browns, this guy has 38 touchdowns against 12 picks. Against the Steelers, 4 touchdowns and 7 picks. They have figured him out to a certain extent, at least. The other two decidedly have not.
And I don't even give him a second win because that was his rookie year. He played 9 snaps. I mean, he ran the ball 4 times and for 17 yards.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. And so he's really 1-3.
Yeah. Okay.
For all intents and purposes.
Well, 1-4, right?
There was also a game his rookie year where he wasn't the starter yet and the Steelers won that one. So.
Look at this guy limits, season. Huh? This is why we pay him the big bucks.
You got to go beyond
Tuesdays.
The box score, you know?
It's basically 1-3. Can you guys name the only two other teams in the NFL that Lamar has a losing record against other than the Steelers? Go ahead.
Kansas City.
Wow.
That's a good answer. Yeah, I was going to say they own the Bengals like the Steelers own the Ravens, which is funny.
He's 1-4 against the Chiefs, although there may be little caveats that
you think back to week one, another just game of inches. I mean, if that guy gets his toe on the back line.
He was great in that game.
Right, and if that receiver gets his toe in bounds.
Who's the third team?
If he was likely in bounds, then they would have won. They would have likely won.
There you go.
Pun very nice.
You like that one, Ron?
Yeah. Who's the other team?
I don't know.
Who's
the third team? Could be an NFC team that he's played once.
Give me a team that he has a losing record against.
I'll say the Eagles.
Wrong.
Miami.
Wrong.
Let's go the Lions.
Wrong.
Vikings.
Wrong.
You didn't even hear what I said before you
told me I was
wrong.
Chargers. Wrong. Broncos.
Packers.
Wrong.
Bears.
Wrong.
Tigers.
Wrong.
Wrong. City Limits is taking it on the chin. Rams.
It's wrong. It's the Raiders, 1-2.
Oh.
How about that?
Would not have thought. I mean, that one, they had no business losing to them this year, but old thorn in his side, Robert Spillane popped up at an inopportune time for Lamar.
The Biting Gardner Minshews.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mustachioed Minshews beat them. I don't know how. So, yeah, the Chiefs, Raiders, and Steelers.
I mean, even the deeper numbers than his win-loss record against the Steelers. I mean, 4 touchdowns to 7 picks. He's been sacked 20 times,
man,
for 98 yards lost. TJ probably has 10 of them.
I give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit. A lot of credit for that. They have devised, you know, a plan for Lamar, and it's worked. Having said that, that's a very limited sample for how long he's been in the league.
Especially with his current offensive coordinator. Yeah.
Yeah. You're basically saying he's 1-3.
Yeah.
1-3. That's not the other two teams in the division. He has 24 decisions against.
Yeah, that's wild.
I mean, that's insane. So we'll see how it matches up this weekend. Let's talk about that.
Derrick Henry. I mean, that's a new ace up the sleeve into this matchup, which is going to be awesome to watch. Patrick Queen. Meeting him in the hole will be must-see TV.
They've, in some games, I feel like, preserved Henry. And if that is indeed the case, they're preserving him for weeks like this.
Arthur Smith knows all about him as well. But that's not one of the, like, I don't necessarily look at Arthur Smith as being a coach who can help you devise anything. I mean, he's just a monster, Derrick Henry. I mean, everybody can see it from the film. I don't think it's really like knowing a quarterback's tendencies or even offensive linemen.
Yeah. I can't believe how good he still is, and neither can the rest of the league, or else somebody would have offered more than 2 years and $16. $8 million a year.
You kind of want
to. If you knew he was this good, you pay him $14 million.
Him, Saquon Barkley, even Josh Jacobs to a degree. Cautionary tales for the Steelers and Najee? It's food for thought.
How is he a cautionary tale?
If they let Najee walk, is he going to be one of these guys like those three who are balling out with a new team next year because someone didn't want to pay a running back?
I mean, I think it's kind of easy if to predict that. If Najee goes to a new team that has a good offense,
it's a no-brainer.
He'll ball out, but he's also not in that category.
I don't think so, but he's having his best season so far.
I don't even consider him close to those two, honestly.
Or Chubb. Yeah, I mean, they're in that top tier of backs, no doubt. Josh Jacobs, maybe now we're talking same neighborhood.
I think McCaffrey, Henry, and Barkley are the three best running backs in the league. You?
Yeah, it's tough for me to argue with that. And you always, how much do you weigh prisoner of the moment type stuff with what he is when he's healthy as far as McCaffrey?
A little bit.
So,
yeah, little
and,
bit.
And Chubb, I mean, when he's right, we've watched him
my
control
fear is he'll
games
never
against
be right
the Steelers.
Again. Yeah, he was great. He was in that conversation for sure, but unfortunately, I don't think he is anymore. So let's go
to... That guy Tyrone Tracy for the Giants, when he plays the Steelers, he's in that class.
Yeah, he's not bad. Dick Tracy, as Limits called him. Let's hear Tomlin.
Not once.
And I don't want to over-challenge you here, Limits, so I'm going to give you time to look this up. On the pass defense, he seemed to go out of his way to defend the Ravens' pass defense. And I thought he was pretty good and pretty insightful and not just blowing smoke here. Do you have that, oh, Limitless Wonder?
We heard that with Kyle Hamilton in that first part of the Marlon Humphrey clip.
I guess Kyle Hamilton's...
No, you didn't. What?
I think he played it. It was all included in there. Kyle Hamilton got an ankle from the last game, but it seems like he's going to be okay and play, but that's a major injury to watch this week.
Does it seem Kyle like he's going to be okay to play?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, it looks like they've dodged a bullet to some extent, but you also got to let his participation be your guide, right, as Mike Tomlin would say. So keep an eye on that on the injury.
Well, what he said was, and you're right, we did play it, I don't see negligence there, Tomlin said. I don't see people out of position. He did say, this one I didn't agree with, that teams are getting out of character throwing it 40 or 50 times against them. To me, he could have easily just said, look at the teams they've played. Look at the quarterbacks they've played. They've gone twice against Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They played Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Jaden Daniels, and Dak Prescott, who beat us with two late drives. That's all Tomlin had to say. And I'm buying it. I don't think this Ravens defense is as good as last year's, Brian, but I think they're better, way better than people are making them out to be.
Yeah, they brought in a new defensive consultant too, Dean Pease.
Yeah.
Trying to help out the young new coordinator, Zach
Orr. Do you like Pease limits? Do you think they're healthy? Do you eat them?
They are healthy, but I don't know how good they are. I don't think they're that great.
Yeah, I don't like them.
I'm about as neutral on them as any vegetable or maybe any food. Because
they're unbelievably boring, aren't
they? That's the thing. I don't hate them, but I'm never going to choose them. I'm never going to seek them out. And I could choke them down.
Nobody
really
goes out of their way to include peas in a meal.
No.
Do they?
Not as good as green beans. They're like green beans' little brother.
You like green beans, Brian?
I love green beans, but you got to do them right. If you get them kind of too crunchy and cold and they've got like the string in the middle,
yeah,
then they're a real turnoff.
Yeah. Do you like green bean casserole?
No. Why would anybody make a casserole centered around green beans?
I love green bean casserole.
Green bean casserole, that's pretty like, is it pretty mayo heavy?
No.
What's in there? What's the main like, oh, it's like cream of mushroom soup, right? Or something like that?
Something like that. I don't know. I don't
love it.
Christmas.
I don't love it. I like green bean almondine.
It's really good.
Have you ever had that?
Hello, pony.
What?
Green bean almondine.
No, is it good?
It's like a green bean dish that's a little less thick and heavy than the casserole.
Right.
But you put some almonds on there, and I'm imagining there's some kind
of
like
butter glaze. Yeah, the almonds are a nice effect. Do you think Dean Pease enjoys all this?
I think so. Did you see Pony walk in and say hello?
No.
What does he want?
He just walked out and said, oh, you guys are on the air. We also have an update from Alex Highsmith. Low ankle sprain, no broken bones, possibly out 2 to 3 weeks, not season ending. Man. Source, Alex Highsmith's dad.
That is great news that's a low ankle sprain, and that's something where you feel like they're in position to get by now. I thought Preston Smith, well, first of all, Herbig's supposed to be back, but I also thought, especially against the run, that Preston Smith gives them something. He was noticeable in that game. He can still move.
Yeah, he had a little bit more juice than I expected at age 30 or 31 now. I think you always got to worry about that, especially with a bigger guy like him. His game, from what I know of him, I'm not going to pretend that I was a Preston Smith expert when he played in Washington and Green Bay.
Right.
But I think his game was predicated more on size and being an edge setting, pass rusher, defending the run, like you said, Joe. Looked like he can still turn the dial up a little bit when he needs to get after quarterbacks.
Yeah, I was impressed. He can put his
hand. Now, Lamar could make him look silly if they get, meet in a phone booth or something like that on Sunday. But
Lamar can make anybody on earth look silly. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Let's wrap this up with a couple of other Tomlin gems from today.
Oh, one more thought on Dean Pease.
Yeah.
He was Arthur Smith's defensive coordinator in Atlanta. They go way back.
That's very interesting.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.